But those of you who are interacting with customers that are in customer service, maybe you're a one-man shop, you have your own business. When a customer complains, or doesn't complain, but points out that your data is wrong or something isn't working, do not just automatically come back with, I just took a quick look and it seems to be working to me. Can you prove what you're saying is happening? Take some time and research what your customer is saying. Maybe you need more information and you can ask for some clarifying comments, or you can ask him to give you some more details, him or her. But don't just come back and say, oh, it looks fine to me. What are you expecting to see? Someone did that to me on numbers that I was looking at on a dashboard. I was using their own CSV export file, which is like an Excel file that you can pull out, and I was comparing it to what the dashboard was showing me. So I was using their backend numbers from the table that is pushing data to their dashboard to show me all my pretty graphs and all the status updates that I was looking for. And they was like, oh, those graphs are working. What's wrong? And then I went, because I was angry, I went through 6 data points, I think, of where it was obviously completely wrong. If they would have just taken a second to look at the stuff, at the graphs in any kind of detail, they didn't even need to be familiar with the numbers. They didn't need to even compare it to their backend numbers that I did. They would know that there was something wrong, and they wouldn't have wasted my time to go through all of that to prove to them that their system, their dashboard was completely wrong. And that left a bad taste in my mouth, and now I'm sharing it with you. Don't be that company. Don't be that customer service guy. Do some extra work and win your customer over. Don't disparage him. Don't exhaust him. You want to build relationships. You want to retain customers because it costs so much money to gain a customer that a little extra time is far cheaper to maintain a customer relationship, to maintain a loyal customer, than it is to blow them off and go get a new customer. Don't ever take for granted your customer base. Don't ever take for granted your loyal customers, that smaller percentage that is advocates for you. Or you just might go out of business. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to my rants, my complaints, my interactions with businesses. I hope they're kind of entertaining. They're entertaining for me to think about. And I'm telling you, my blood pressure has gone a lot lower that I have this show to vent to, because I know that all of these like hard times where I would get frustrated normally with are just opportunities to share with you. And so I actually don't get that frustrated with them anymore. Like, sometimes they still blow me away and I'm really surprised. But being able to say, hey, I'm going to share this on my show, it just helps me deal with my day. So thank you for helping me and being my therapist in a way, I guess. If you want to reach out to me, find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Email me, Matt, at howtobuild10.com. We are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com. Put in HTBT in the memo field, and you'll get a mug like the one I'm drinking out of right now. HTBT mug, 15 ounces, holds tons of coffee. I brewed myself 12 cups of coffee today. I'm going to go through it because I have a long day on Wednesdays when I'm recording the show, because of the new Reformgelical show that's coming out with AD Robles. I'm really excited about that. You can see it live. We also have the book club. That book is so good so far. Chris Voss, Never Split the Difference. Learn how to negotiate. Learn tactics to be like a pro. I don't know if I told you this before. I think I might have. But I, in business school, went to Pepperdine. And at the time I was going, they were the number one conflict resolution course subject, or they were number one in conflict resolution for the business school. And they did a really great job because they combined the law school. They had law professors from the law school teaching at the business school. And it was just a great experience. Anyways, the things that they're talking about in this book is what I learned in business school for negotiating. Conflict resolution, a lot of it, mediation, arbitration. We would go through simulations like that, and we would talk about different strategies. And a lot of those same strategies are in the book. So save yourself some tuition money. Don't spend as much money as I did on school. And just, you know, $20. And you can learn how to negotiate. It's a really good book so far. Highly recommended. Even if you don't join the book club, just go check out that book. It's really good. And they have some cool FBI stories, if you're like the CSI kind of person that loves those kind of shows, then you get to read some real life stories about hostage negotiation. I also have a video on YouTube talking about some of the stuff I've learned. I'll be posting that from time to time on all the different books we're going to be doing. We're going to be going through probably like one book a month and see how that goes. How are you going to fit that into an hour? I don't know. We'll find out. I've done book clubs and at work before where we've been able to do it in an hour. So if it's just me talking or I can get you guys to chip in and talk and be part of the experience too, I'm sure an hour is going to be plenty. It just requires preparation. Preparation sets you up for success more than anything else, I believe. Anything else that you can do, the one who's prepared in negotiation, prepared in podcasting, book clubs, whatever it is, usually is the one who excels. The tricky thing about it is you don't see the preparation in others. So you wonder, like, why did that person do so well? Or why did that person show up this person? Why did this person dunk on this person in the debate? It's probably because they prepared a lot more. They did their research. They studied the opposing team or side, whatever it is. They studied the market. They studied the industry they're going to be in. The more time you put in, the more you're going to set yourself up for success. Now, let's get into the show. Like, geez, 6 minutes into it. But hey, that's important. You need to be focused on your customers and preparation is key. So we are getting through the nugget. We are having gold nuggets in this nonsense for you to take from and to benefit from and to be successful. I was on Twitter and this Boeing story is absolutely fascinating. I have a few pilot listeners that have reached out to me about this before when I've talked about it. Check this one out for all you pilots out there and all you other people that fly and might be on a 737. In an internal ethics complaint, a senior Boeing engineer said that executives rejected a safety system on the 737 MAX to minimize cost. Equipment that he felt could have reduced the risk that contributed to two fatal crashes. Now, similar to the spirit of what we talked about in the beginning of the show, of the customer or the company customer service representative who didn't take the time to do just a little bit of research, but to save time to cut the cost of interacting with the customer, right? Costs are more than just dollars, time. To cut cost, he did a quick look and then sent me a response because he didn't want to invest in me as a customer. Well, same spirit here. Boeing looks like they decided they didn't want to invest in a safety system because they wanted to minimize cost, which I guarantee you costs less than what they've been dealing with. A brand image problem, ordering. I don't know off the top of my head if they even have orders anymore for the 737. It's kind of been put on hold. The legal loopholes they've had to go through, the audits, the internal affairs, Justice Department, all the people that would be looking into this, having to rebuild that image, all of those costs, not all measurable, but they're all cost and they are all very costly. Go into this equation and needs to be remembered if you are in a leadership position, Boeing, hopefully you are not making a bad decision that costs lives. But remember, cutting corners never saves money. Or rarely saves money. And when lives are at stake, like in an airplane, you should never do it. Always be on the safe side. I would rather have a high-end product that I could say we have never lost lives because of all the safety features we put into it, the extra engineering hours, and have that guarantee than to cut costs, to grow profits, and to have these incidents happening. It's very sad. And this is my I told you so moment. I think still the CEO should resign from Boeing. Pretty amazing. The last thing I wanted to hit to close off this show, I actually saw this from Gabe's Facebook page from the Cross Politic guys. You as an American, on average, you might want to sit down for this. You as an American, on average, pays more in taxes than you paid for food last year in 2018. You know, after even the tax cuts. According to the survey, American consumer units spent What's a consumer unit? I don't think I've ever heard Americans be considered a consumer unit before. Maybe I just haven't been paying attention to polls. Okay, so consumer units spent in 2018 on average $9,031.93 on federal income taxes, $5,023.73 on Social Security taxes, which if you're a millennial or younger, you're not going to get, $2,284.62 on state and local income taxes. You need to move to a red state if that's you. $2,199.80 on property taxes and $77.85 on other taxes. And for those of you who hate math and don't want to add that up, that totals up to $18,617.93 in taxes. On average, the average American spends state income, Social Security, all those things, $18,617.93. That's bananas. For the same year, the average American paid $7,923.19 on food, $4,968 on healthcare, $1,866.48 on apparel and services. The expenditures totaled $14,758.11. Are we in a free society? When you pay more to the government to distribute how they see fit of your wages, now just remember, your money is an expression of your value provided. So how much do you make a year? You divide $18,617 divided by how much you make a year. And that's on average how much time is not yours. Taxes creates an environment of theft and in ways slavery. And you don't get a choice. You have to pay these. You have to pay your taxes. You have to work. Dollars are an expression of your time. That is, that money you're spending represents how much time you spend at work to make that money. Sorry, I didn't say that more eloquently. Compared to how much you spent on your own money, $14,758.11. The system's broken. The system's broken. We need to engage. We need to get involved in local government, school boards. Get your kids out of public schools that are being indoctrinated to continue to raise your taxes. Hold your politicians accountable. Call them, email them. Be successful. Grow your businesses. Contribute to conservatives that are going to cut our taxes and to return freedom to us, return our money to us, return our rightful property to us. These are the ways that we become successful as individuals, as a church, as a country. We have to get in the fight. This life is a spiritual battle. Just because you check out, just because you're not fighting, doesn't mean you're not in the battle. It just means you're easily conquered. So let's go out and be successful, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.